Yes, it's time for the Asia-specific report with Kiru Naidoo. Kiru, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Good morning and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Myanmar Muslim lawyer Kony assassinated. Thousands turned out for his funeral. Who was he and why is he much loved?
Well, he's a very unusual person in the context of Burma's transition to democracy, in that the Rohingya minority has been very much marginalized and on the receiving end of repression from both the state and, one would say, also an attitude within Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy that's not been helpful to national reconciliation. Now, what we have witnessed with thousands of people turning up for Kony's funeral is very much a kind of protest against the current policies of the government. Now, Kony was an advisor to Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy. He was very high up in the party structure and very close to her. So with the sort of Buddhist nationalist sentiment that's been building in that country, his assassination was to make a point that Muslims were not being tolerated within the political structures in that country. And sadly, what the assassin has done is to further polarize politics in that country and drive communities apart. But to its credit, the NLD has described Kony as irrepressible and really a rare gem, both as a fraternal politician, but also somebody who has helped a great deal in its constitutional negotiations and the writing of its legal framework.
Then we move on. The Philippines president and his drug war suspended to tackle corruption. What's the story there?
Yes, well, we've talked about this over the weeks, where President Duterte has been uncompromising in this war on drugs, so much so that it's appeared that he's done it at the expense of human rights considerations. So not only has the police gone after dealers and peddlers and the drug lords, it appeared that they were using extrajudicial means to eliminate even drug users. So this has been a sort of no-holds-barred campaign led by the president. A matter has arisen in the last few days. In fact, yesterday, the president announced that they would suspend the Philippine National Police, the PNP, from being engaged in this anti-drugs operations. And this follows the killing of a South Korean businessman by what appears to be a rogue drug squad unit within the police. And so this has been tremendous embarrassment for President Duterte. And what we've also heard just a few hours ago is that the Defense Ministry has now formally asked the president to request that the military participate in the drug crackdown. So it's not a case that the entire drug campaign is being suspended, that they're just reordering within their system which law enforcement or military units will be engaged in this exercise.
Then North Korea de facto says Kim Jong-un's days are numbered. What do we know about him and the country situation currently?
It's a very difficult country situation, but what is quite apparent is that the defection of Mr. Tae Yong-ho, who was number two in North Korea's embassy in London, has been a tremendous embarrassment to Kim Jong-un. And there's been various pronouncements that's come out of Pyongyang looking to discredit him. Then again, the fact of North Korean defectors is something extremely, extremely rare. I've been following the reporting of a journalist called Stephen Evans, who was very close to Mr. Tae. And up until the announcement of his defection, Mr. Evans says that he had absolutely no idea that this very high-ranking diplomat would eventually crack and move over to the other side. Now, Mr. Tay's view is that Kim Jong-un and the North Korean authorities about to fall. I'm skeptical about that, for the reason that totalitarian regimes have a very tight grip on power, and it's not that they just collapse overnight. And what we're looking at presently is Kim Jong-un having a really, really tight hold on all aspects of the country, some loyalty from within the military, some support from within China, which is his key benefactor. And in fact, it's Mr. Tay who's told us that Kim Jong-un has a firm a commitment to making North Korea a fully nuclear state by the end of 2017. So with all these ambitions in mind, it hardly looks like a regime that's able to that's on the verge of collapsing. Right now, Mr. Tay is in South Korea, and I understand that he's being debriefed by intelligence agencies, both from South Korea and Western nations. So it's interesting days ahead, but a very significant development in the politics of the Asia-Pacific that such a high-ranking diplomat could have left Pyongyang's clutches.
A very interesting developments, and we'll certainly keep a watch on that. Kiru, thank you very much for your time this morning. We appreciate your time always on Radio Islam.
My pleasure indeed. Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.